Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Dr. Mark Stengler writes this. He says, God has provided us with a sophisticated healing system. He says, to focus on the building blocks of what God has already provided, such as sound nutrition, exercise, sleep, attitude, in prayer. If you listen often enough, you've heard this from me many times over. I believe this with all my heart. I believe God wants you healthy. I believe that we play a part and that He plays a part. And we do our best and we leave the rest. And you know, sickness does still happen. But I just believe, as someone who's walked through years of battle in that regard, that there's a way to find the high ground in those battles so we can do what we can do to thrive in the midst of it all. So I'm excited to welcome Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson. They co-authored a book titled Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. It's a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. And we've got several copies. This is a workbook, and it's so helpful, and I'm excited to get them on the show. And as I said, we've got a few copies to give away. Here's how you do it. If you listen often enough, you know, 877-933-2484. You can text in your address along with your questions and comments, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement. Today is the last day to sign up for the free online course that we're offering together with University Northwestern St. Paul. This course is about navigating grief with humor, taught by Professor Melissa Mork. It's designed to help both grievers and those who love them and want to help. It's a free course with optional credit. You can find out how humor can help a grieving heart cope, build resilience, and find purpose during those moments of sorrow. Today is that last day to sign up. You can find more on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dana Dimitri is an RN. She's an author, speaker, and co-founder of the popular website Lean Healthy, Ageless. I love it. Which equips women to reach their lifestyle goals through practical tools and messages of faith and hope. Robin Thompson is an advanced clinical weight loss practitioner trained by top doctors and scientists in the industry. Through seminars, workshops, and coaching, she helps people lose weight, improve their nutrition, and get more active. Now, you notice in the subtitle, it's boosting up your midlife metabolism. And we're going to talk a bit about hormone imbalance. But guys, I know we have as many men listening as women. This is for men and women today, young and old. There's things for all of us to learn today. Dana and Robin, this is the one time I'll talk with you both at the same time. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. We're so happy to be here, Susie.
Yes, thanks, Susie. Excited to be on your show.
Good to have you both. And I love to start every day talking scripture. Dana, we'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
Well, I'll share one that has actually just been on my heart for years, and it's so much the foundation, I think, of change for me. It gave me hope as a new believer, and I still camp on it. It's Romans 12:2 that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you can know God's will, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. And I think as a young woman, I was so messed up in so many areas. I needed that transformation. And just knowing that I could be transformed and God could play a role in that was huge. And now I know the how.
Yeah.
So it's always been a powerful verse in my life.
Very good. And I can't wait for friends to hear your backstory, Dana. Robin, how about you?
Well, mine is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it's, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And that is addressed in so many areas of my life, whether it be personal health and nutrition. You'll hear as I share a little bit about my background, I deal with a lot of these crazy, we call them hunger games, and sometimes I just get so frustrated and trying to work in my own power, then I remember, God can work in my weakness.
So good. So good. All right. Just for context, I mean, you're both professionals in healthcare, and yet you both also have a story to tell. And Dana, if we could start with you, a little backstory, both on your faith journey, but your health journey as well.
And truly, my faith and health journey intersected, and part of what led me to the Lord was because of the consequences of some of my poor choices. So going back to just a young child, I mean, I was really healthy. I didn't have any eating issues or weight issues, but in my teen years, I started to compare myself with girlfriends, and I was average, very average, but I thought I was fat, which, you know, this is years ago, Susie. I'm 67, so it's not a new problem for both, and for men, too. And anyway, I started dieting, and just the kind of normal thing, going to try to lose a few pounds, but for whatever reason, I became obsessed with getting thinner, and I ended up with a full-blown eating disorder. I was actually bulimic. Back in the day when they didn't talk about it much, talked a little bit about anorexia. But by the time I was in college, ironically in nursing school, I was binging and purging sometimes up to 5 times a day. And I didn't know the Lord. I had wonderful parents, wonderful loving parents, but we never went to church. I believed in God, but didn't really know him. But my out-of-control behavior just kept spiraling. I felt so out of control with food in my body because even though I was binging and purging, I still was gaining weight. You can only purge so much. And so I started to take diet pills. And this is in school, in high school. You know, you're buying them from other students or whatever. And so I was on this vicious cycle of the bulimia and then the diet pills, lose some weight, gain some weight. But what ended up happening is obviously that's wreaking havoc in my body, and I started to have panic attacks. And so, fast forward, in the middle of now college and pursuing my nursing career, I'm actually feeling many days like I'm either losing my mind, dying. I literally thought sometimes I was physically dying. And thankfully, God does not waste anything in our lives because the fear of death and the fear that I was losing my mind actually led me to the Lord, and I cried out to him. I ended up being married to a man 9 years my senior that wanted a trophy wife and he never knew I was bulimic, but all he cared about was how thin I was, and so I had the panic attacks and the body image issues and the eating issue, perfect storm, which could go, you know, two ways, but I called out to God. I thought one night I literally thought I was dying, and I remembered this one woman in my life that knew the Lord, and long and short, she shared the gospel. I became a believer, and I will not say that, snap my fingers, and God just healed me. He took me on a journey, but that journey has helped move beyond just having these you know, health credentials to really the personal journey of being transformed by the renewing of my mind, changing my health habits, changing my thinking, and overcoming the panic attacks. So that's a little long-winded, but that's the story.
That's why I wanted the story. And friends, if you could see the cover of these two women, you wouldn't believe their age and how they look now. I mean, it really, the choices we have and how we can impact our health, our energy, even how we look is absolutely, you guys both look like the picture of health. I'm so happy for you both. Robin, how about you?
Well, I'll just start with my faith journey because they don't quite interact like Dana's do, but I grew up in a conservative Jewish home. So I always knew there was a God, but I didn't have that personal relationship. I mean, we went to services on Friday night. I was bat mitzvahed, all of that. And then in my, I guess you would say, early 20s, I met some people that were exposing me to the Word and to Jesus Christ, and I kept saying, no, you know, Jews don't believe in Jesus. This is not what we do. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I just finally was like, okay, I'm in.
Wow.
And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and that was the beginning of my walk with the Lord. I think I was about 21. So, and then fast forward to my personal story about the, you know, health and weight loss and all of that. I had always been excited about nutrition and health, and I was coaching people for many years through health and weight loss, detox, kind of a cleanse program. I probably coached 1,000 people to lose weight, and all I had been lean and healthy and used the protocol that I was following, and all of a sudden I hit my late 30s, early 40s, and I was like, uh-oh, something is changing here. Hormones, of course, I wasn't quite sure at the time, but what I was helping people and instructing them to do wasn't working for me anymore. And I'm like, I'm so out of integrity. How can I get lean again? And so I just started doing a whole bunch of research and trying to figure out what was going to work for me in these hormonal years where all these changes were taking place. And like you said, Susie, it's mainly women, but men have hormonal changes too. And the protocol that we created with our Eat, Live, Thrive diet is what I actually implemented to help me get lean again and live in a healthy lifestyle plan. And so we'll share more about that as the day goes on.
Perfect. Thank you. I there was not one word too much in neither of those stories. It was really important for friends to hear your context. We're going to pause here for a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into the Eat, Live, Thrive diet. You know, you activate your metabolism, you balance your blood sugar, you clean your body of toxins. There's a way to walk through this where you eliminate things, you add them back again, you establish a steady diet for yourself. We'll talk about just how unique each of us is. Well, one, we may gain weight if they eat one kind of food, and we'll answer all those kinds of questions. We welcome your questions as well. 877-933-2484. Just text. We're not taking calls right now. Don't forget the address if you want in on the drawing, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Like I said, this is like a workbook. So much good information. And I love health help from a biblical perspective. That's what this is. Talking to Dana Dimitri, Robin Thompson, authors of the book Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. We'll be back in a minute.
He put that hunger in your heart.
Yeah, so Kim and I picked these songs because we want you to get up and get moving. If you could see us both in the studio bopping together. In fact, I want you to know we've got a live studio audience coming up with Dr. Troy in August. And I'm just, we may or may not make you get up and dance a little bit at the end. Just saying. So welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson about their book. And it's like a workbook. It's fantastic. Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Quick question before we dig into this actual diet. I thought it was interesting how you both, you opened the book by describing how both of you lose and gain weight in different ways. And you actually compared yourselves to another friend. So there's three of you. And you all lose and gain weight in different ways. Maybe both can speak to that. Robin, I'll start with you, but explain those differences and how you discovered them.
Well, I discovered them specifically, you know, looking at, I remember my brother-in-law telling me, because I would say, oh, I feel like I'm gaining weight. He's like, just eat less. Just eat less. It's all about calories in versus calories out. Well, I tried that. And that did not work for me. I had to actually look at the type of foods I was eating and see how they were affecting me. Now, for some people, it could be a carbohydrate threshold and too many carbohydrates. For me, that really isn't the case. I can eat quite a bit of carbohydrates, but I have food sensitivities. They're not necessarily allergies, but certain foods will actually cause me to have sensitivity, and a sensitivity could be all sorts of things. It could be bloating, it could be a headache, it could be joint discomfort, but one food sensitivity is also the inability to lose weight or actually causing your body to gain weight. And so I had to actually look at the specific foods I was eating and realize through testing these foods and following the Eat, Live, Thrive diet plan, I was able to figure out which foods work for me and which don't. And it's quite different than Dana.
Mm. Well, yeah, on my side, interestingly, and you know, I guess I'm extra blessed in this way. It is more calories in versus calories out. My body is kind of that energy equation formula works. However, as I've aged and as I've, you know, studied nutrition more and more, just realizing that just because I can do that doesn't mean I'm getting all the best health benefits from it. And so we have different motivations sometimes, Robin and I. She's got the sensitivities. She gets a horrible stomach ache or whatever, you know, she has a high motivation. Mine has been modifying my diet based on what we just know is so much more healthful for anti-aging, optimal energy and health and all that. But, you know, and contrasting, there are just so many women, especially, and men too, but especially women as they age, that have insulin resistance, that have carbohydrates, starchy carbohydrates really can be the enemy for them on many levels, not just weight, inflammation in the body and so forth. So we're trying to look at that whole picture. But as you know, you said at the intro, there's not a one-size-fits-all. We have a program, a process that takes them through to discover what's going to work. So Robin's discovered what's going to work for her. I've discovered what works for me, and we help our readers, our clients, discover what's going to work for them. And it's really not all that complicated of a process, but it just takes a little bit of time. But once you have those aha moments, it changes everything.
So interesting. So let's talk about these three phases: elimination phase, discovery phase, and lifestyle phase. And some questions have come in. Is this for men too? This diet for men as well? And I would imagine, yes, it is. As you eliminate
Absolutely.
And discover, right? Okay. So
it works great for guys. It's just frustrating for the women in their lives.
Yeah.
How fast they get results.
Isn't that just amazing? I mean,
I know.
I probably shouldn't say this, but a guy goes to the bathroom and he's dropped 5 pounds. I'm just saying. It's just so unfair. All right. Let's talk about the elimination phase. What does that look like? How long does it last? And either one of you can speak to it, but I suppose since we've got you both, Dana, I'll just start with you.
Okay. Well, the elimination phase is actually, ideally, the first time through, it lasts for about 14 days. And Robin and I are realists, so we have three levels to choose from because we recognize sometimes people aren't ready just to jump in and go kind of to the max. So the first level, level one, is simply eliminating all grains and all added sugar for 14 days. We do that because almost everybody can do that. We want to move them into the other levels, ideally to get more maximum health benefits and also better testing of potential, we call them food culprits, those sensitivities that people have. Robin, why don't you talk about level two and three?
Well, level two and three just add some additional foods such as dairy and legumes. Level three would add, you eliminate caffeinated beverages, soy and eggs, and you can start with a level two and move into level three. Our whole program is meant to be cyclical, so let's say you start and maybe just start with a level one and do that for the 14 days and then move to phase two. You might come back and do it in a couple months and go back and do a level three. It's very friendly for recycling through. And then in that time frame, your energy should be going up in that elimination period. You should be sleeping better. You should notice more mental clarity. It's amazing the transformation. People are just like, I can't believe that I feel so much better. I didn't know how bad I was feeling before.
So this insulin resistance, maybe explain what that is, because most people have a high carb diet and they may be thinking I'm eating whole grains, but it's really sugars. It's breaking down to sugars, and we're so high carb at times we don't even realize what we're doing to ourselves. So talk about what's happening in your body, especially if you have this insulin resistance.
Well, and it doesn't always start as true insulin resistance. It's kind of on a continuum, and what we have learned through research is as young as 30, our carbohydrate threshold, the amount of carbohydrate we can eat and really effectively burn, starts to decline. So even an average person is having some changes in their ability to use carbohydrates as effectively. And what ends up happening in full-blown insulin resistance, it's basically, you know, we've got these carbohydrates circulating in our bloodstream. Our body can only have so much blood sugar, and it's got to be transported to a cell. Well, that's insulin's job, to take it and knock on the door of the cell and say, let me in, I've got some sugar for you. And the cells are resistant, saying, nope, I'm not going to take it, store it as fat. And so that's why so often in lowered carbohydrate thresholds and then full-blown insulin resistance, you're getting a lot of weight gain. You're becoming so efficient at storing especially starchy, high glycemic carbohydrates as fat that you're gaining weight and you're thinking, what's going on? I'm not even eating that much. Do you want to add to that at all, Robin?
I think you described it perfectly.
You know, and I just got to say, you know, I'm gluten intolerant. My brother has severe celiacs. I've not been able to do gluten or dairy for 20 years. So way before it was trendy, I just can't eat it, and I don't really miss it that much. But my hubby, just to do a fast for a purpose for a month, gave up gluten and grains, lost 30 pounds. He said the mental clarity that he said, I didn't know I was foggy until I got rid of the grains, and the clarity that came blew him away. What does that tell him? Is it that he had some insulin resistance?
It's possible that he might have had some insulin resistance there, and it's also possible that he had some food sensitivities. It's way beyond gluten. I mean, there are other. I have a sensitivity to oats. There's so just like gluten is a protein in wheat, there's a protein in oats called avenin. And if I have oatmeal, I mean, within an hour, I feel like I'm in like a stupor of foggy brained and tired. And so it doesn't necessarily mean it's just a insulin resistance. It could be food sensitivity. So that's through the testing process of phase two, what we call our discovery phase, you can learn a little bit more about to find out what is it actually. If it's not a sensitivity, it may be some insulin resistance. It might just be that, you know, his carbohydrate threshold had slowed down over the years, and he just wasn't able to eat as many.
So we've got about 2 minutes before our hard break at the bottom, so we may pick the discovery phase up on the other side. But talk, if you would, about now. So we've eliminated the food, whether you choose phase, whatever, level one, two, three. Now it's time to reintroduce food. I'm sure that's a very careful process. Robin, maybe you first and then Dana after that, but talk discovery phase.
Well, that's my favorite phase of the diet because I feel like through discovery, you're able to find out, being like a private investigator of your body, of your nutrition plan, what is true for your body. And it's not true for anybody else but you. And so you start adding back in one at a time those foods that you took out. You do that and you test them. You eat a couple servings per day, but you're only testing one food at a time for 3 days. And you're looking for changes. We have some worksheets that you fill out, and you might be looking for congestion. Am I tired? Am I emotional? Do I have anxiety? Do I have depression? Am I gaining weight? There's so many different things to look for. Intestinal problems, skin problems, joint problems, fatigue. I mean, the list goes on. So you're really looking for those. And if you don't see any of those, then that food's probably okay for you to add back in. If you notice something, that food is probably causing you a sensitivity. And just because it's a sensitivity that you're seeing, that doesn't, you know, maybe it's joint issues. You don't know what other havoc it's causing internally in your body. So,
wow, Dan, and you think about you're eating something that may not bug your gut, but you don't realize it's contributing to your overall feeling of lethargy or just creakiness or achiness. But we live with so much that we don't have to, don't we?
Absolutely. We often say, you know, food can be the cause of our disease, but it can also be the cure when we're eating the right foods. Eliminating the right foods and eating the right foods is just powerful.
Wow. Okay. So I'm talking to Dana Dimitri, Robin Thompson. Their workbook is titled Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. It's a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. And as I said, this is for men and for women, young and old. But the midlife piece, I think especially, will be very appropriate and appealing to you if you live in the midlife. So as I said, we've got several copies to get into your hands. This is how we're doing it, through text or email today. You can text 877-933-2484. Don't forget that mailing address. We need that mailing address to get the book in the mail. Please remember questions, comments, if you have them. You can also email middays@myfaithradio.com. That's middays@myfaithradio.com. Right now, we're just tackling these three phases of the diet. Elimination. So for 2 weeks, you give up certain foods. And then in the discovery phase, you add them back one at a time, 3 days at a time, and you pay attention to what's going on in your body. You write it down, and this workbook really helps you. We'll talk a little bit more about that discovery phase, and then you go into the lifestyle phase. Think about discovering a diet that works for you so you can feel like your best self. We'll talk about that when we return. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson, who, but one's an RN, one's a licensed clinical weight loss practitioner. Together, they wrote the book. It's a workbook, Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. It's a heavy workbook. There are recipes in here. What I love about this is it helps you find a specialized diet for you, because certain foods bother you that may not bother me, and vice versa. So through this phase of eliminating things from your diet for 14 14 days, adding them back in again, you figure out what bothers you, what's causing aches and pains in your joints, maybe sinus issues, weight gain. And when you find out your best diet, you're going to feel like your best self. We've got several copies to get into your hands. I'm excited about that. You can text to get in the drawing or email. Here's the number to text. Don't forget the address, 877-933-2484. I love giving away books, especially just when they're like this, that will just help you so much, feel like your best self. Here's the email, middays@myfaithradio.com. Okay, girls, so we talked about the elimination phase, 14 days of giving up some of the basics like gluten and eggs and dairy, and there's levels that you can do that you mentioned in the book. Now, Dana, we'll get back to you now. The discovery phase, you said, how do you pick which food to enter, reintroduce for 3 days at a time? Is there a science to that, or is it just one at a time?
We do make recommendations, but it is one at a time, and there's some flexibility because we never want something to be such a deal breaker for someone, like, I've just got to have cream in my coffee again and I can't go on, you know. So, but our recommendation is to start with maybe the dairy, and you test those somewhat differently because you've got hard cheeses and soft cheeses and so forth. And some of those initial foods like dairy, perhaps nuts, legumes, if they test okay, they can leave them in, but we usually want them to go to the grains all, you know, one at a time, and then end with sugar, which really doesn't need testing, but, you know, you might as well really see how you react after being off of it for 14 days. And by the way, we didn't mention, we say no added sugar. We allow up to 2 tablespoons. Is it 2 or 1, Robin? I just had a brain
it's
freeze.
One. It's one.
1 tablespoon. Thank you. I checked myself there. Mm-hmm. 1 tablespoon of honey or pure maple syrup within the context of recipes so that they really so many of the recipes will satisfy those carbo cravings. So I did want to point that out because it makes all the difference in staying compliant with those 2 weeks of elimination. But to go back to that testing part, ideally when they get to the grains, they test one at a time, but even if they test fine, they're going to put it back on the shelf. They're not going to keep it in their diet because we've got 2 issues going on. The potential sensitivity of each of those grains and the carbohydrate threshold issue. So you want to know what's going on. Am I gaining weight because now I'm just eating way too many carbohydrates and perhaps too many calories? Or is it, you know, this specific food? So you might test oats, see how you do. Even if you're fine, put it on the shelf. You might then test quinoa or wheat or whatever. And so this really helps give a better discovery. And then lastly, testing sugar is basically allowing yourself to have some added sugar and seeing, am I that kind of person that literally is so addicted to sugar it like puts a fire in my brain, you know, similar to cocaine or heroin, where I literally cannot eat a small amount and control myself. Some people are that addicted. So we're helping them really not just, we know sugar's not great for us, but help them discover, can you on occasion enjoy a little bit of sweets and still be able to, one, feel good, and two, control it.
Mm. I notice for me, I'm not addicted to it. I mean, I'm gluten, dairy, soy, corn-free, but I've found like a delicious gluten, dairy, soy, corn-free cheesecake, believe it or not. But when I have sugar, I feel the inflammation in my body. Like, I'm so sensitive. It's like, I think it's worth it, and then I think, no, it's not worth it.
You're right. You're exactly right. Oh. It decreases our immunity. It increases inflammation. So really, finding creative ways to really keep that low most of the time is really important to our health and longevity.
Mm. Okay, Robin, talk lifestyle phase. First, let me ask you this. How long does the discovery phase last? So the first phase of the elimination is 14 days. How long typically is discovery phase?
Well, it depends. So we're realists, and we realize some people won't get through testing every food that they eliminated in their first discovery phase, and that's why we said the program, it could be cyclical. So and it also depends, Susie, on if they are seeing a sensitivity. Say I'm testing corn and I'm noticing, oh, you know, I don't feel good. I feel really emotional. I feel really sad. I mean, that is a sensitivity. So they need to stop eating it. We don't have them continually eating that food. And then they need to let it get out of their system. So that maybe they tested for 2 days. They realize, hey, this isn't a good food. They need to wait, you know, 3 to 4 days for all of those symptoms to subside and to get that food out of their system before they begin to test a new food. So it really is going to vary for each person how long it could be. They might do discovery for 3 to 4 weeks. They might do discovery for 6 weeks. They might be like, I'm not done, but I'm going to move into lifestyle because I can't finish this right now. I've got something, you know, too much on my plate in my work, you know, I'm traveling or whatever it is. So they can come back and circle back around and test those foods they didn't get done afterwards and move right into lifestyle. And lifestyle phase is, you know, Dana and I have always said we wanted to create a plan where people would lose weight the same way they would be able to keep it off and still enjoy their life. So even though many will feel so good in the elimination, they maybe don't want to move into the next phases, we really encourage them to. We've had incredible success with people continuing their weight loss and their health goals in lifestyle. I mean, I think of Lucretia. She lost 55 pounds. She only did a level one elimination, and she lost 55 pounds. Moving, you know, testing those foods, moving into lifestyle. Same with Paige. I think Paige might have done a higher level, but she's lost a lot of her weight in the lifestyle phase. She's at like 65 pounds now. But lifestyle is basically taking all of your discoveries. You know, you've noted down which foods you're gonna that are causing you sensitivity, which foods you could add back in. You take all that data, and you now are eating in lifestyle phase, and you've added those foods back in that you feel are okay for you. And through lifestyle, you're actually going to figure out, how much of those foods can I eat? You know, I'm not sensitive to rice. I can add rice, but how much? Because of what we talked about with insulin resistance and carbohydrate threshold. So in the lifestyle phase, you're kind of tweaking, and we have two options for you. We have the keep it simple, which is my favorite, and we have by the numbers, which is Dana. And I'll let Dana explain those if you want to, Dana.
Well, keeping it simple is basically portions. We're saying, you know, here's an ideal way to eat. You've eliminated all the foods that you're sensitive to, but this is how many portions you could have of these grains per day, or how many portions of fruit or whatever, to have a realistic calorie and carbohydrate bottom line. And a lot of people love that because they don't have to count anything at all. I'm kind of the bottom line girl, and because I can survive in, you know, calories in versus calories out, I want to look at keeping my, especially my high glycemic carbohydrates, maybe around 120, 150 when I'm in lifestyle phase. And so I like just by the numbers. By the numbers is just counting the calories, counting the carbohydrates, and lots of people use things like MyFitnessPal, Fitbit, and things like that, so it's pretty easy for them, and they like the concreteness of it. So we recognize personalities are different. Some people flip between the two, and sometimes in coaching, we have an academy called the Eat, Live, Thrive Academy. In doing some of our coaching calls, we find out somebody might be under-eating, which is not uncommon once they start to feel good. And so we're helping them discover, you know, you might want to do by the numbers for a week so we can really know what you're doing. So you can kind of know what your sweet spot is, even if you do keep it simple and go portion control. It's really all quite simple either way, but women need to customize, and men too, a plan that serves them well, because we don't want to be servant to the plan. The plan's a servant to us.
Amen. In a moment, because I see some questions coming in on the keto diet, intermittent fasting, I'll get to those. But one thing I love that you address in this book, too, is attitude and mindset. And you quote clinical psychologist Alice Crum. She writes, "Our beliefs matter in virtually every domain, in everything we do. How much is a mystery, but I don't think we've given enough credit to the role our beliefs play in determining our physiology, our actual reality. We have this very simple metabolic science, calories in, calories out, but people don't want to know that or believe that their beliefs influence their physiology as well, but they do." Again, we've covered brain science on the show. I'm just fascinated by it, but what we think actually affects our physiology. I've read studies on even, if, you know, when you're eating good food, if you're believing that good food is healing your body, it actually initiate something and activate something in your body. I don't fully understand it, but it's a reality. So, Rob, I'd love for both of you to speak to that, but Robin, why don't you start?
Well, we really do focus on this in the very first part of the book. In fact, as you're reading, a lot of people want to jump in the plan, and that's fine to jump to part two and jump in the plan, but we really encourage you to come back and read this part of the book, because what we believe, especially like a lot of people have such negative self-talk. They say, I can never be on a diet. I can never eat healthy. I have to have my sugar. I'm addicted. I mean, they're saying the things that are actually working against them. And so the first part of that is really recognizing, what are you saying to yourself? What are you speaking to yourself? And it may not be out loud, but we catch it all the time. We'll be listening to a conversation on our coaching academy, and I'll say, I just heard what you said. And so if you're saying it, you're believing it. But a lot of that, those thoughts are not even verbal. It's just a thought that, you know, I don't deserve to be healthy. And that could be a mindset, a thought that developed years and years. And so figuring out what you're saying to yourself, whether it's verbal or not verbal, and then creating a opposite statement, and if you can use scripture, even better. I'm going to let Dana speak to that because she is an expert in this area.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's what really transformed my entire life is that one of the biblical truths I learned so early on is to take my thoughts captive and to really identify lies. So we talk about this, Susie, because, you know, knowing what to do in getting healthy is really important. It's super important. But knowing how to get yourself to do it consistently enough to get results, that's the million-dollar challenge.
Yeah.
And if we, you know, if knowledge were enough, we wouldn't have such a health crisis and such an obesity epidemic in this country. So these biblical principles are so powerful, and we have watched women truly finally get breakthroughs to live consistently. And so we help them identify the lies. There's basically four steps we talk about in the book. It's to identify the lies you believe, to take those thoughts captive, to erase and replace them. So you're replacing them with truth. It can be as simple a statement as, I'm easily satisfied, I'm in control of my choices, to, as Robin said, we've used scripture throughout our lives to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then the fourth one is just repeat, 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 because God designed our brain in a way to protect us that we're not easily brainwashed. He wants us to be brainwashed with truth. And so we have to do, that's the only part about this. It's a simple process. And we do some fun little things like encouraging people to put a rubber band on their toothbrush. So every time they pick up their toothbrush to brush their teeth, it reminds them to practice what we call either healthy self-talk or truth talk.
Love it.
And it changes.
It does
change our feelings and our behaviors.
As a man thinketh, so he is. Scripture is replete with
Amen.
These verses. And again, brain science is catching up with scripture. And you give some examples from the book. Here they are. I'm excited to discover a healthy lifestyle and watch my body transform. What if you started to say that to yourself every day? What if you said this to yourself? I love being active, so I make exercise a part of my daily lifestyle. I choose to eat for maximum energy and health. I am changing my unhealthy beliefs and attitudes. I'm becoming transformed by the renewing of my mind. I can see myself leaner and healthier in the months ahead. Can you picture it? I can picture it for you, friend. Talking to Dana Dimitri, Robin Thompson, their book, Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. There's so much stuff out there. I love this. I think it's balanced. It's biblical. It's totally accessible and doable. We've got several copies to get into your hands. I think you know the drill if you listen often enough, but here it is if you're brand new to the family. 877-933-2484. You can text your address or email middays@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we'll tackle intermittent fasting, the keto diet, and a few of the other questions. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So good to have you listening today. Having a great conversation with health professionals, women of God, Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson. They co-authored a book. It's a workbook, really. Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Rob asks, will this work for men as well? And we said this earlier, and I want you to know, Rob, absolutely yes. Lots of texts and emails coming in. Love to see that. I promised we would tackle the keto diet, intermittent fasting, because those are a couple questions that came in. I'll let you two choose who wants to tackle which one. Which would you like?
Well, let's put keto on the table and address that really quickly. Robin and I do address some health trends in the book to include both intermittent fasting and ketogenic diets. And we there is no doubt that ketogenic diets are helping people lose fat. It's a totally different metabolic pathway that is using ketones for energy, and basically burning fat, going to fat source. And we have decided that, you know, we are just not promoting that within our book, not because it doesn't work and have some definite benefits, but we don't believe for most people, and I hope everybody hears me, for most people, especially women and especially middle-aged women, that it's highly sustainable. It's a more difficult diet. It actually requires you to stay in that ketogenic zone, so it's really effective. And because of our philosophy of really wanting to help people do something that's sustainable and less restrictive, we've chosen not to pursue that. Now, there's some ketogenic benefits to the diet we have when people are on elimination and bringing their carbohydrates down to maybe 80 to 100, 120 grams per day. They're going to get some ketogenic benefits, but they're not going to be in ketosis. So, again, we're not poo-pooing the benefits and some great medical breakthroughs with especially people with epilepsy and so forth, people with cancer. There's some really good reasons to pursue it, but it's not part of our protocol. So, Robin, I'm going to toss intermittent fasting to you.
Okay, so intermittent fasting is, we do have what we call our eat, live, thrive eating cycle, and we incorporate a more gentle approach to intermittent fasting. There's a lot of people out there that are doing fasting that are, you know, doing 18, 20 hours of fasting, and our book was written for the midlife metabolism, and for many people, excuse me, that's just too extreme, and especially women. So, I mean, people have been fasting for years, and so if you want to do a 2 or 3 day spiritual fast and you're not eating at all, that's great. But if you're consistently putting high level of stress on your body by fasting 18, 20 hours a day, for most women in our age bracket, and men too. Men are a little bit different. They can probably push the limits more, but that's typically a little bit too extreme for us. Fasting is excellent, and doing eating in shorter windows and allowing your body to rest and your metabolism to rest in those hours. You know, maybe you're doing what we call a 14-hour short-term fast. So you're eating your last bit of food at 8 o'clock in the morning in the evening, and then you don't eat breakfast again until 10 o'clock. So you've allowed your body to rest, your metabolism to rest. In that time, there's all sorts of rejuvenation and repair going on, and it can allow your body to experience some amazing brain health benefits, as well as put you into more of a fat-burning mode. So there's a lot of benefits to the intermittent fasting. We do have people, in the book, we talk about listen to your body, because for some people, and mainly women, they may not know it. They might have a bit of adrenal fatigue, especially at our age. And again, fasting puts a little bit of stress on your body. It's a good stress, but it can be too much for you. We believe that a 12-hour fast for every person is highly beneficial. In fact, there's a lot of research out there coming out with a 13-hour fast helping to reduce the risk of breast currents and the reoccurrence of breast cancer and the reoccurrence of breast cancer. So, and fasting again has been done for, you know, years and years. We look at people in the couple hundred years ago. They didn't eat till 11 o'clock at night. They were asleep because they had to get up the next day and work and do chores before they probably even ate breakfast, you know, later in the day, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, after their chores. So it's kind of a natural lifestyle, but we just have people look at how much they want to incorporate it, how many hours they want to do. Do they want to do a couple days a week, 2 or 3 days a week of fasting? So it's a little bit more modified.
You know, I think it was Dr. Dale Bredesen, he's author of End of Alzheimer's, who says that if we could stop eating at night, you know, have dinner earlier and just stop eating, that's the only time that evening when you're not eating, especially into the sleep hours, when your brain is clearing out the plaque that builds up for Alzheimer's. So it's one of the best things you can do for brain health, just like your body does repair at night. And I just think the idea of just, that's something anybody can do. Stop snacking at night, stop eating, be done after dinner. And we just got a few minutes left. I would love to know what your go-to foods are, both of you. What is a day in the life of Dana and Robin look like just for your normal diet? Dana, how about you?
So different from Robin because I can handle a little bit more grains and so forth. I mean, I love Perfect Bars. They're actually a healthy bar that has some honey. It has a little bit of rice flour in it. But in the morning, I like an organic decaffeinated coffee, believe it or not, because I am one of those adrenal fatigue people. So I'll have my decaf coffee with organic half and half. I'll have a half of a Perfect Bar because it's about 16 grams of carbohydrate in half. That's how I like to start my day. It's very small, but I raise chickens. So usually 2 hours later, I'll have fresh eggs straight from my chickens. And, you know, and then usually like Robin, I'll do a high protein salad or something for lunch. I rarely eat wheat anymore because I find that American wheat is processed with chlorine, and I just rarely eat it. Occasionally Italian exported pasta. So heavy on the veggies, moderate amount of fruits, lots of lean, healthy protein, ideally grass-fed beef and, you know, free-range chickens and all that. I'll toss to Robin because, you know, we could go on and on. So, love Robin?
Yeah, I start my day with usually an espresso and about a tablespoon of some organic half and half. And then I usually do not eat my first meal, I would say usually, until maybe 11 or 12 o'clock. It just works better for me. If you read the book, you'll read all about my Hunger Games. I'm not going to get into the story of that right now because we don't have a lot of time. But my first meal, even though it's later in the day, it might be I get eggs from Dana, so I get her pasture-raised eggs, and I'll eat those. I usually will eat that with some avocado. I love taking like arugula or some sort of greens and throwing the eggs over the greens. And so that'll be usually my first meal of the day. And then I will eat maybe a kiwi at some point or some raspberries. I'm big on berries. Those are like my primary fruit. I don't eat a lot of nuts. I'm saying what I don't eat. You want to know what I do eat. But nuts don't work for me. But a lot of people like nuts for snacks, so I'm just putting that in there. And then I love to make a meal with, like, spaghetti squash and grass-fed ground beef and tomatoes and tons of veggies.
Getting
love
hungry.
Veggies.
Love it. Keep going.
Lots of roasted veggies. Dan and I eat a lot of salads when we're together. We eat huge salads but we make our own homemade dressing. The recipes are in the book because we don't want any of those bottled dressings that are full of sugar and inflammatory oils. So we'll make our own dressing. We put lots of good protein on it with all sorts, you know, peppers. We use a lot of food, like peppercinis and olives, foods that have a lot of flavor because we feel that is the most satisfying.
What's an inflammatory oil? Would that be corn oil?
Yes, most of the vegetable oils are inflammatory in the body. Believe it or not, everybody thinks canola oil because it is an omega-3 is a good oil. But if you watched the process and how it's made, you would be like, well, what is a canola? Because it can cause inflammation in the body. So I stay away from canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, all the vegetable oils. We encourage extra virgin coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, those are the primary fats and oils that we use.
I've been surprised, we just got about a minute here before it's time to say goodbye, but I've been surprised by what I've been learning about corn and the derivatives of corn. How many people who think it doesn't bother their gut, but when they get rid of it, it gets rid of their anxiety for some people, and the melancholy, the up and the down, the emotional swings. Amazing when you think about it. It's like, if it doesn't bother my gut, it must not bother me. But I think there are so many hidden sensitivities that we don't know about. It's why I love this whole idea. I'm wondering, as we wrap here, so many, which is huge response in text and email. Dana, as we get ready to wrap, we literally have about 30, 40 seconds for you, but would you pray for that person who feels stuck and needs a jump start?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and lift up this audience of people listening that are frustrated and discouraged. And God, you have not given us a spirit of discouragement. So I pray
for hope. And I pray that each and every person knows they can make a change when they are transformed by the renewing of their mind and changing some of their thoughts and then just practicing doing small steps consistently. You meet us where we're at, and I pray for health and vitality for all those that are seeking that in Jesus' name.
Amen. One quick question. How do they find you if they want coaching? I got that question. I want to make sure we get it answered.
They can go to our coaching website is eatlivethriveacademy.com.
Eatlivethriveacademy.com. It's Dana Dimitri, Robin Thompson. You guys were absolutely stellar. The book is Eat, Live, Thrive, Diet. Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.